Good afternoon and welcome to IZEA's Q2 2019 earnings call. I'm Ryan Schram, Chief Operating Officer at IZEA, and joining me today is IZEA Chief Financial Officer Troy Vankhe and IZEA Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Ted Murphy. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Earlier today, the company issued a press release with details pertaining to our second quarter performance for 2019. If you'd like to review those details, all of IZEA's investor information can be found on our investor relations website, which is IZEA.com/investors. Before we begin, please take note of the safe harbor paragraph that appears at the end of the press release covering the company's financial results, and be advised that during the course of today's earnings call, our management team will discuss IZEA's business outlook and make forward-looking statements. These statements are predictions based on our team's expectations as of today that are subject to inherent risks and uncertainties and should not be unduly relied upon. Actual events, results, or trends could differ materially from our forecast due to a number of factors, including those mentioned in our most recent filed periodic reports with the SEC. The company and our management team assume no obligations to update any forward-looking statements made in today's call. In addition, our update today will refer to certain non-GAAP financial measures, specifically gross billings and adjusted EBITDA. A reconciliation of these measures to the most directly comparable GAAP measure is presented in our earnings release, with additional discussion of both of these measures available in our most recent Form 10-K and our forthcoming 10-Q, available under SEC filings in the investor section of IZEA.com. With the appropriate disclosures out of the way, I'm pleased to introduce my colleague and IZEA's Chief Financial Officer, Troy Vankhe. Troy?
Thank you, Ryan, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to recap with you our results for the quarter ending June 30th, 2019. For the second quarter 2019, IZEA reported total revenues of $3.9 million, with about $3 million coming from our managed services business and about $900,000 coming from our software as a service, or SaaS, offerings. This compares with Q2 2018 revenues of about $4.1 million for managed services and about $100,000 for our SaaS offerings. As mentioned in prior public releases and on prior conference calls, we acquired Tap Influence in July 2018. This acquisition, combined with strong organic growth of IZEAx, has driven the significant increase in revenue from our SaaS offerings for the second quarter of 2019 when compared with 2018. For our managed services business, our overall revenues have decreased due to reduced headcount in our direct sales team. Ryan will discuss our efforts in this area in a bit more detail in just a few minutes. As a percentage of revenue, our cost of revenues, exclusive of amortization, has improved from 46.8% in Q2 2018 to 46.3% in Q2 2019, or an improvement of about 50 basis points. Our total costs and expenses were $5.86 million for Q2 2019, compared with $5.85 million for Q2 2018. This comparison includes two one-time non-operating items that both contribute to the comparative increase. Specifically, in Q2 2018, we recorded one-time gains associated with adjusting derivatives to fair value and a gain associated with our acquisition costs payable, where these two gains aggregate $345,000. Absent these one-time reductions to 2018 expenses, our total costs and expenses would have shown improvement of approximately $330,000 for Q2 2019 when compared to 2018. Our net loss for Q2 2019 was $1,992,000, compared with $1,648,000 for Q2 2018. Adjusted EBITDA for Q2 2019 was a loss of $1,267,000, compared with $1,512,000 for Q2 2018. During the second quarter 2019, we closed on our public common stock offering, raising approximately $9.2 million net of all expenses associated with the offering. With the completion of the recent offering, we have not pre-funded any additional accounts receivable invoices using our line of credit, and we are allowing that line to be paid down as the previously funded invoices are collected from our customers. The line of credit balance was just under $280,000 at the close of Q2 and has since been paid off completely. Our ending cash balance as of June 30th was about $9.3 million. As you may have read in our recent 8K filings, the company settled the vast majority of our acquisition cost payable obligations in late July. Rather than pay a premium of more than 20% on the fair value of the shares to be issued in order to settle the liabilities in cash, the company and its board of directors elected to settle both of these July acquisition obligations using common shares. Now that those obligations are settled and our line of credit is paid off, we have a healthy balance sheet from which we can fund our continuing operations and future investment in our core technology platform. Before I turn the call back over to Ted, as noted within the 8K announcing our press release, I have announced that I will be leaving the company at the end of August in order to pursue another opportunity. I want to thank Ted, Ryan, and the rest of the truly exceptional IZEA team for the wonderful experience, and I wish the entire team continued success in all that they do. With that, I'll turn the call over to Ted.
Thank you, Troy. We appreciate your time with us and wish you well. We continue to see progress against our goal of having SaaS represent a more meaningful percentage of our customer billings and revenue. During the first quarter of 2018, SaaS services accounted for 18% of our gross billings. That number increased to 54% in the first quarter of 2019, with SaaS services now representing the majority of our customer billings. We began to roll out our SaaS platform, IZEA X, to enterprise customers in the first quarter of 2018. At first, the commitments we asked for were relatively small, and we purposely limited the contract length as we evaluated the product fit against each customer type and use case. As we began seeing success, we started increasing contract lengths as well as pricing. We also began to better understand our ideal customer profile as time went on. As we were refining our own SaaS go-to-market as IZEA, we acquired Tap Influence in Q3 of last year. This introduced a different product and customer base to the mix. Like all acquisitions, that transaction presented new opportunities and challenges for our team. The addition of Tap Influence instantly equipped us with an incredible customer success organization who understood the unique needs of an enterprise influencer marketing client. We acquired some impressive core technology from the Tap platform, which our engineering team quickly integrated into IZEA X, dramatically improving the experience for discovery in particular. And of course, we gained some marquee customers who are large marketplace spenders. Those customers are ideal customers for IZEA, with dedicated influencer marketing team members actively using technology to manage their influencer marketing efforts. However, the acquisition also saddled us with some technical debt to maintain, along with some unhappy customers for two core reasons. First, while the Tap platform had some core strengths, it had not received a major feature or functionality advancement in well over a year, far too long in this highly competitive space. This left some Tap customers wanting for support of new types of activations and other features without a feeling of progress for an extended period of time. Second, some customers were either paying too much in licensing fees for their use case or were just not a good fit for an end-to-end influencer marketing platform to begin with. These customers likely should not have been sold a license based on their ability to staff the platform. We saw some of these customers churn in Q1 and Q2 as a result, which had an impact on SaaS licensing growth in both quarters. Our last group of pre-acquisition Tap Influence customers is up for renewal in Q3, with most of them coming due towards the end of the quarter. While we do not believe we will see any large customers churn, we do expect that some smaller customers may or will. Our team expects that Q3 SaaS licensing revenue will be larger than Q2 SaaS licensing revenue, but it will not be until Q4 that we get through a full cycle of legacy TAP customers and contracts to understand what our real baseline is as a combined entity selling a single software platform. While we had some challenges, we also had some great wins with some of TAP's biggest legacy customers, including our first multi-year contract and some win-backs of customers that had churned before the acquisition. The advancements we made with Discovery because of the TAP acquisition have been a real difference maker for our sales team, both managed and SaaS. That includes the new Discovery interface, which borrowed heavily from TAP, the introduction of VizSearch just a few months after the acquisition, and our credit card-driven IZEAx Discovery offering, geared towards smaller agencies and brands that don't need a full end-to-end product. The advancements we have made have allowed us to significantly diversify our SaaS customer base. We ended the quarter with just over 100 customers licensing a flavor of our software, and expect that number to grow in quantity moving forward, creating more diversity in our customer base and less reliance on any individual customer over time. I'd like Ryan to speak more about our client diversification and our sales efforts. Ryan?
Thanks, Ted. As IZEA continues to rebalance the business with an increasing ratio of SaaS-related offerings, it's important to note that our individual revenue streams have different accounting treatments. Managed services and SaaS licensing fees are accounted for as gross revenue, while marketplace fees and legacy workflow result in revenue being recognized net of the amounts paid to our creators. SaaS revenues may be smaller, but they represent a significantly higher gross margin than managed services. As we continue to transition the business, it's important to recognize that not all revenue is created equal. As Ted mentioned, we're working our way through both the challenges and opportunities associated with last year's TAP Influence acquisition. Once we're on the other side of that at the end of this year, our team expects SaaS-related revenue to grow substantially year over year in each quarter, given our emphasis and investment on that business segment. We also remain bullish on the potential for key IZEAx Unity Suite SaaS customers, particularly those that are large brands and agency teams, to spend mid five figures to low six figures in our marketplace monthly once they get up to speed. These marketplace spends will begin to grow as we add more enterprise customers. And the benefit of this model is that the take rate related to these monies are incremental to the software licensing and fees committed annually by the same customers. While SaaS-based licensing is typically purchased in 12-month commitments on average, marketplace spends from IZEAx licensees can fluctuate based on seasonality and/or business needs of those customers' ultimate end clients. For example, amongst our customer base are large agencies who utilize IZEAx to conduct influencer campaigns for various brand customers of theirs. During Q2, several of those historically large marketplace spenders had delays or spending adjustments related to client timing or budget swaps out of their control. However, many of those same customers indicated that spending should resume growth in the second half. As our SaaS unit matures and scales, IZEA will have better and better forecasting data on how to model these seasonal fluctuations. In our managed services unit, we've seen bookings decrease year over year throughout the front half of 2019. This is directly correlated to lesser sales personnel headcount in the managed services unit. While the team was over a third smaller than the year before, managed services bookings in Q2 were essentially flat at -3 year over year. This signals increased efficiency and contribution per person on key accounts, which we are pleased with. We're also looking to invest more in managed services, substantially as a result of our recent fundraise and in light of the growing addressable market for both managed service and SaaS solutions. On our fourth quarter earnings call, I announced the creation of IZEA's Professional Seller Program, or PSP. Since February, we've recruited and graduated two classes of new candidates, indoctrinating them in the IZEA way via this full-time immersive sales training program. The first two PSP classes have been geared to supply new talent for our managed services organization, while class three, which begins next month, will begin to groom SaaS-focused sales resources as well. While the professional selling program is not intended to replace our traditional recruiting efforts for experienced sales executives, we believe it can help us build our sales organization much faster than with traditional methods alone. At the end of this year, we expect the overall sales team to double the size it was at the beginning of 2019, setting us up for 2020 and beyond. Now, for some additional commentary on IZEA's second quarter and for a second half outlook on the company, I'll turn the call back over to Ted. Ted?
Thank you, Ryan. As Troy mentioned, at the midpoint of Q2, IZEA completed a $10 million public offering. The purpose of that public offering was to provide the capital needed for IZEA's ongoing operations, as well as funding our growth strategy by making investments in three key areas: sales, marketing, and engineering. We intend to make strategic investments in areas of the organization where we see opportunities to drive meaningful top-line growth and margin expansion, particularly with our SaaS revenue lines. We started to make some of the investments at the end of Q2, but you will see heavier investment in Q3 and Q4. Increased marketing means more differentiation and awareness of IZEA, and ultimately more inbound leads for our sales team. Increased sales team size means more proactive outreach and coverage of accounts. And increased engineering spend means more innovation to surprise and delight our customers. None of these investments will have impact overnight, but we expect all of them to drive growth and operational leverage in future quarters. Our team is working aggressively to take advantage of the opportunity at hand. I remain very encouraged by the progress we are making, and I look forward to the back half of 2019 with an even more exciting 2020 ahead. Thank you for spending time with us this afternoon. I would like to open up the call for Q&A.